This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Good Saturday morning to you with Matt Harkins behind the glass. This is Bob Pompiani. I'll be here until 1 o'clock when we present the first Pirate preseason game coming up from down in FLA. And we'll talk about the lineup that you'll be listening to a little bit later in the program. I want to remind you our fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. And our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. And remember, Number One Cochrane buys cars, and they have 19 dealerships all over the place. So you have no excuse to check out their massive inventory as well. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, great place to watch all sorts of sporting events. Fine dining if you want it, casual dining if you prefer it, outdoor fire pits, all sorts of stuff at Iron Rock Tap House. All right, number is 412-928-9370. You can hit us up here talking about some of the events of the day, of the week. Of course, the Penguins will take center stage again tomorrow as they take on the Philadelphia Flyers, a team that's ahead of them. Not many people thought that would be the case, given the fact that the Penguins had all this high-end talent. We're going to start with talking about Kyle Dubas and his press conference from this week and some of the things he had to say, and also, where they go from here. The deadline is coming up on March the 8th to make a trade. It was interesting this week that Dubas, my takeaway, is that he stressed on several times the need to get younger, which is a difficult thing to do for a team that has the oldest roster in the NHL, and many of those people have no trade clause or partial trade clauses, which make it difficult for anybody to get out of them. But he said, based on a TSN report, that Dubas was taking calls talking about most of the roster with the exception of three. He made it four. He said the big four, basically, which is Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and Erik Karlsson won't be involved in any trade talk. And quite frankly, that's not a surprise. But the problem they're going to have is, what do they give up to get and make themselves younger? I'm not sure they have enough to do that, at least not now. He is reluctant to give up number one picks. He wants to build that way. And that's fine, except that if you're looking for, acquisition of talent to help your team go down the stretch this year, you're going to have to do something. Who do you have to give up? Who's attractive on that team? What would you get in return? They don't have many options there. They need to find out guys in their system and bring them up here and play. It was encouraging the other night to see Valtteri Puustinen and Drew O'Connor have good games late in the game, especially against the Islanders, which resulted in an overtime loss, which is also stunning to me how this team could be 2-6 in overtime games. With all the talent they have, you'd think a 3-on-3 would work to their advantage. And, of course, the biggest thing is the power play. It's head-scratching. Just find out that the Penguins defensively and the metrics look very good as a team, and they've done pretty well. And Karlsson specifically has been okay 5-on-5. It's just the power play. He was acquired to improve that, which last year was at, we all thought, a dismal 21%. Well, it's way below that, even with Erik Karlsson on the roster. They got to figure out what to do there and take advantage of that. And they have to dig out from where they are. It's going to be a difficult assignment. But teams like Philadelphia, which come in here tomorrow, these are the teams you have to win. They went into this homestand, which I thought were four teams they could beat. And I thought at the very worst they'd have a come away with three wins in those four games. That's at the very worst. And here they are 1-1-1 with two losses to the first two, and then they beat Montreal the other night, which is certainly a must win, I thought. And tomorrow will be one as well. The Flyers come in here 67 points. They're third in the division, the last playoff team from the Metro, and the Penguins find themselves with 56 points. So that's 11 points behind them. If you look at the wild card, Detroit and Tampa currently have the two wild card spots. Detroit's playing really well. They're 66 points, 10 ahead of the Penguins. And Tampa Bay has really struggled, yet they're still 9 points ahead of the Penguins, and Tampa Bay has played far fewer games. So the Penguins have, I think, four games in hand with them. They're going to, you know, it sounds good. You could, you know, four games, you win them all, that's 8 points. Okay, we'll go win them all. That's hard to do for a team like this. But, you know, the bottom line is they're going to have to do something, and I'm not sure what they can do, given where they are in this situation. So we'll talk about that at 412-928-9370. Pirates will play their first preseason game. They signed Mitch Keller yesterday to a five-year, $77 million contract. So they've locked up people like Reynolds, DeBrian Hayes, and now Mitch Keller. And I think that's certainly good because he needs to be the opening day starter, and he needs to be what they think he can be at this point. The big thing that you're going to be focused in if you're watching the game today is Henry Davis. He will start at catcher, bat third in the lineup, and we'll see how long he plays. But, I mean, that's going to be the one thing that you would expect to see a lot of during this training camp, something he probably should have seen a lot of last year during the regular season but did not. Henry Davis never got a chance to really get in that lineup. It was all Indy Rodriguez, and even when he got a day off, it wasn't Henry Davis. It was Jason DeLay. They brought in Yasmani Grandal, and I believe they're going to play him a lot, but this is important for Davis. Eventually, he has to be their everyday catcher, or at least one of them on a regular basis, and more importantly, his bat has to play at this level. He has to hit. Otherwise, that number one overall pick will look like a bust. It's not there yet. I'm hopeful. You know, he's a young kid. He's certainly beefed up. He looks very powerful. He needs to drive the ball, and they need to, you know, do what they got to do to get him to be a catcher. Because the outfield right now has a whole bunch of people who probably are better outfielders than Henry Davis. Like Smith and Jigma, they just got him back off waivers from Seattle. He's going to play today. And Edward Olivares also is an outfielder they brought in. So they got a bunch of guys. Whether or not those guys can be every day, probably doubtful. Josh Palacios is a guy who's played out there. They're going to have a lot of platooning going on. That's not necessarily a good thing. But the thing about the Pirates, they do return seven regulars. And I think that's a sign of a team that has a foundation in place. They need to add to that foundation. 412-928-9370 is the number to call there if you'd like to talk about the Penguins or the Pirates and where they go from here. The big thing about the Penguins, aside from, you know, where they are and how they have to dig out, and Kyle Dubas sort of gave him a vote of confidence, but he did say, again, that they have to get younger and younger, is Jake Guentzel. That's the one piece you can trade. That's the one piece that can bring you back. The question is, what do you get back for him? A lot of people want to say, well, you can get two number one picks. You can get number one and a player. To me, that's the most logical thing, a number one and a player. Somebody who's quick to be up here, a high-end prospect, or somebody who's still on a roster. But they're going to have to figure out what to do with Guentzel. If they find that his asking through negotiations is way too high, then they're going to have to move him. But they may decide to double down and keep him and work for. Their cap will go up, not as much as the NFL cap went up yesterday. We saw it go up $30 million, but it's going to go up. They're going to, you know, get rid of some contracts at the end of this year, like Jeff Carter and others potentially, so they can create room for Jake Guentzel if they want him and include him in that big four that they mentioned. But still, how does that help you now? How will that help you now? Depending on what you're going to get in, it probably won't. You're going to have to figure out a way to make up all these points in these games, 29, 28 of them left, heading down the stretch. And listen, the goal is to get in. It always has been to get in. Once you get in, then, you know, best of seven, things can change. Hot goaltender changes a lot of things. I think the goaltending has been largely good for the Penguins this year. but they got to get better at some of these other things, specifically the power play. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Chuck in Uniontown, who joins us right now. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Bob, thank you. Always good to talk to you.
You too. I'm glad you're doing well.
Bob, do you think the Pirates will be better this year?
Better than last year?
Yes.
Yes? Not incrementally to the point. I think it's going to be an improved season. Will that result in a playoff? Probably not.
Over 500?
Let's just say if things go well and they don't lose people like they did with O'Neill Cruz last year with the ankle, they have a chance at that, yes.
But they'll be in the mix, but won't make it.
Well, their division is down, Chuck. That's the one thing that, you know, when you look at, and maybe, you know, we'll all be proven wrong if you think like I do on this, but I don't think the St. Louis Cardinals are going to be much better than they were. They probably will. They'll probably do what St. Louis always does and figure out a way to bring guys up and thrive. I think Cincinnati's just an average team. I don't know if the Milwaukee Brewers have gotten better. They've gotten rid of some of their key people. So I think the division is, you know, in a position where they can contend for it. Sure, I do. It won't take much to do that because I don't think it's that good of a division.
Bob, but see, what bothers me is, first of all, the Keller signing is great. It's good. They're locking up people, key people long term. But what they're missing the point, they're not supplementing them, you know, with free agents they bring in. They need to bring some experienced free agents in to round the team out. And again, the starting pitching is still in bad shape.
Well, I think, thank you for the call, Chuck. I do agree with that. When you supplement, you shouldn't just supplement with $2 million a year players. Roddy Tellez, $4 million, okay. You have Cody Bellinger out there. Make a big splash and go out and get that dude and put him in your lineup and see what it does for you. But you got to pay for that. So I agree on that. As far as the starting pitching is concerned, you know, I think there is, again, it's who knows? The problem is there are more question marks than exclamation points. At this time last year, I thought Rones and Contreras are going to be a really good pitcher for them. I really thought Ortiz would be. I thought, who's the other guy? Johan Oviedo would be good, but he's out with an injury. Brubaker, there's all these question marks. Can they put it all together? Can anyone emerge from their system? Skeens is a kid, you know, but he won't be a part of this to start at least. At least that's what I think. I hope he is, but I don't think they're going to do that. They have potential and, you know, potential. We'll see. It's always potential. Then the potential turns into lack of production. Jay in Shadyside joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Jay. How are you? Jay?
There?
Yeah, you there?
There. I'm there now.
Okay,
how
good.
You doing, Bob?
Good. How are you?
Good. One question about the Penguins. I hope it hasn't been asked, but if they do get younger, as they should, and they trade away some players you wouldn't think of, is the team captain going to be on board? Is he going to have a bad attitude? Is he?
He never has a bad attitude. You know, he may have his say in what he likes,
and
I know he likes Gensel. He wants Gensel here, but I think if you can convince him, right, that whatever trade they make, and here are the problems we're having. It's this much money, we can't afford it at this point. I think he would understand all of that. He wants to be better too. I mean, he wants to get this team. He's done his part. He's had a wonderful year. So he doesn't complain. He may go in there and air his, you know, concerns about whatever, and that's fine. He should. He's a captain. But
usually I've learned that they're okay the first time for rebuilding, but a second and third time, usually they're not thrilled about it.
Well, here's the situation they're in, Jay. They have not missed the playoffs in back-to-back years since before Crosby was drafted. So this is an unusual position for them to be in. It's one thing to get in and get knocked out, but they haven't gotten in last year, and they're right now trending toward not being in again this year. But yet, everything seems to be okay with the coaching staff. Kyle Dubas, again, big vote of confidence for Mike Sullivan and his team.
No, but it's not a coaching issue at all, although I sometimes wonder if they're still listening to the coach.
All right, Jay, thanks. I think that's always a brought up, especially when you have a bunch of guys who've been here for a very long time, and they have. And I wonder about what that means on the power play. First of all, I don't think any of their coaches are telling the Penguins to do what they do on the power play. I think they're trying to tell them something else, and they may not go through with what they're supposed to do. Because, again, I keep going back to Yager on the broadcast last week when he was in town, and he said they respect each other too much, which is to say they keep trying to defer. Pass to this guy. You got to put pucks on net and do dirty work. That's how you win on the power play. That's what teams do on the power play. Last game here at home before the Montreal game, they went 0-for-3 against the worst penalty-killing unit in the NHL, which is the Islanders. And again, mostly because I don't think they were taking advantage of what they were going to do down low. You got to get in somebody's face. You got to put rebounds in, do all that stuff. It's basic stuff, yet they haven't really done it to a large degree. 412-928-9370. We got Sam in Greensburg hanging up. Hold on, Sam. We'll get to you. We have Stefan in Robinson. We'll get to you. Want to remind you once again, our show is brought to you by number one Cochran, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, Sandorovich, Sandorovich and Fishman, and Iron Rock Tap House. We're getting started here. Want to hear from you. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pomp. This is the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back, everyone. Want to remind you that Larry Richard is once again hosting the Feed the Need Variety Show to raise funds for our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon, March 1st. That's next week at the Oaks Theater in Oakmont, 7:30 p.m. Performances by Kiki, the Van's Own, Joe Starkey. Man, we'll see what he has up his sleeve. Alista and Bubba will be there as well. Tickets available at 937thefan.com, with all the proceeds going to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. Our show brought to you by number one Cochran, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, and Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. We have sort of a doubleheader for you today of sports. We have the Pirates in their preseason opener today. Henry Davis batting third and catching. We'll be interested to see how he does there. And then tonight, a big game for the Pitt Panthers as they will take on Virginia Tech in a must-win. And Pitt, after getting blown out at Wake Forest, which is not a surprise given the way Wake plays at home and how they got hot from the outside, but Pitt really needs to win that game. It'll be a 5:30 game today at the Peterson Events Center. That'll be the second part of the DH. So you have the Pirates on first at 1, followed by Virginia Tech Pitt. Pitt then goes to Clemson next Tuesday. They also have at BC, Florida State at home, and NC State. So they got to win like 5 of these games, I think, and do some damage in the tournament after that loss based on where they are. We'll see how that goes at 412-928-9370. Back to the Lions, and we begin here with Sam in Greensburg. Hey, Sam, what's going on?
Hey, it's actually Tim in Greensburg, but that's okay.
All right, sorry,
you can call
Tim.
You can call me Sam. You
just don't call you late for dinner, I get, or late for a tea time. Go ahead.
There you go. Hey, me and my friends talk all the time. We don't always pay a lot of attention to the early goings on with the Pirates, but one thing they struggle with, you know, filling the positions that in need, and first base has been need for a while. They don't sign enough free agents out there that might make an impact, but other teams sign them at team-friendly prices, and you get so frustrated, like, hey, we could add him for 3, we could add him for 5, and it's like, why won't the Pirates be more proactive? There's a guy out there that has a career batting average that's good. He hits well against the Pirates. The team doesn't want him back, and guess what? He hits the ball when runners are on base to advance the runners. Rarely strikes out. I'm going to say a name. You tell me what you think.
Who is that, Bellinger?
Joey Votto.
Oh.
What? I mean, if we can get him for a team-friendly price, you know, why can't we bring him? He didn't do great last year, but his career, if the Reds don't want him, hey, he would really help the Pirates.
Yeah, you know, I understand what you're saying. But I just think that ship has sailed for him. I would rather go Cody Bellinger. I've been saying that since the beginning of free agency for them. I want a young guy who can give me some pop and has good years ahead of him. Joey Votto's at the end of the line. Tremendous career, and he gave them all he can give them based on the money that they gave him. So that was great. But he would fall into the same category I would put all these other guys. That is, older guy, you bring him in, the expectations aren't that high. I don't see them getting any better. I would have preferred something other than that. But say thanks, Sam, or Tim, or
yeah. Would you bring Bellinger in, say at 10 instead of?
I'd bring him, but he ain't going to take 10. He ain't going to take 10. I would give him $17 million a year. I give him whatever the market says he deserves. That's what I would do.
Well, that's you and that's me, but that's not the Pirate way.
No, they're instead going to give Rowdy Tellez a $4 million deal, and that's that. So,
and that's frustrating because when we got a guy on second and there's 2 outs, and we need that single to bring him home, and we just don't get it.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. From Greensburg, let's go out to Stefan, or is it Stefan in Robinson? So far, I'm 0 for 2 on names. I want to get yours right. Is it Stefan?
It is Stefan and Robinson.
Stefan, okay. What's up?
Nothing much, nothing much. Just wanted to start off by saying I actually got the pleasure to meet you in Robinson. Super shocked. But I also wanted to get your input. Like Yager said, the Penguins power play is really suffering, and we do have one of the oldest teams in the NHL. So what would you look to get for in Gensel moving forward, knowing that that is an issue?
Well, it would be nice if they can get somebody who's currently on a roster and an effective player in addition to a number one pick. Kyle Dubas has not been shy about saying he wants more number one picks. He doesn't want to give them up. He would like to add two. If this comes, you know, push to shove and Gensel just is unwilling to accept whatever they think is a fair offer and they see that it's going to be impossible, they got to do something before they just lose him for nothing. But
right,
I would want, and I think there'll be a bid. Here's the thing. The thing about rental players with me, Stefan, is this. They can be very, very important to a team that thinks they could win. If you look around the NHL, there aren't any guaranteed any teams right now. It's wide open. If you're a team that's close and you believe that Jake Gensel, because he can score, he's one of the best playoff performers in the NHL, if he can score and help you, even if you have no intent to sign him long term, you can get a lot if there's a bidding war for him. As a rental player, he can look. The Penguins have done that how many times? Guys like you know, it doesn't always work. But I'm just saying, if Gensel can score goals, if you're a team that needs some more goal production, if you think you're worthy of a Stanley Cup, yeah, you pay for it. So I hope that kind of market begins to show up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then one more with that saying, we do get two firsts for Gensel. Who are you? What is a prospect that you're looking at? You're pretty excited about that you might be able.
Honestly, I'm not a big fan of any of these number one picks coming up in this draft. Every now and then, you get a generational player or two. Mm-hmm. I don't think there are any of those. So you may have to wait. That's why I want somebody from somebody's roster as well. Thanks, Stefan.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, man. My pleasure talking to you. 412-928-9370. We got Charles in Chicago. What's up, Charles? Hey, Charles, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Bob? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Just before I get into it, I want to just pay a salute to your fellow colleagues. Now, I'm hearing the addition of the Freebirds on Mondays with Ron Cook leaving the show on Mondays, man. So big shout-out to him first and foremost.
All right, what's up?
I was just seeing an article on CBS Sports of T.J. Watt. And basically, just like still a little frustrated, you can tell, not getting defensive play of the year, just questioning like how things are being voted, just making a comment like saying, you know, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of guys who deserve to win it and didn't like snub Garrett or anything, but just talk about how it's more about legacy. And don't get me wrong, TJ Watt, I mean, it's definitely. I hate to say it, but just by a little bit pouty the last few times he didn't win it. And I don't know if it's because he probably still feels like the perception he's still somewhat in the shadow of his older brother, J.J. Watt, who has 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards, despite how he performs. But at this point, if you want to really talk about legacy, I love T.J. Watt, but how about win a Super Bowl ring for the city of Pittsburgh? No disrespect. I mean, he's a great player. I'm not saying that's not his mind, but when you go through, especially first and foremost, trying to end what's going to become now an 8-year playoff losing streak, I mean, at some point, if you want to really defy your legacy, why don't you like the old Steelers did back in the day, like what's like Joey Porter,
well,
Jerome Bettis?
Charles, I'll tell you this. Your connection's a little bad, so I got to drop you off here, but I appreciate the call as always. But I'll say this. You know, Myles Garrett hasn't won anything either. If it's strictly on what happened this year on the field, tangible evidence, T.J. Watt should have been the Defensive Player of the Year. Does that mean Myles Garrett isn't worthy? No. That just means he did not have the same tangible impact. Now, if you're going to put it all on him, that this team should get into the postseason, that would be a wrong conclusion to make. He did his part to do it. He can only do so much. Other people have got to do it too, like an offense that has not been able to score consistently. That's where the problem lies. This defense will be good enough if the offense just does its part. This defense, yeah, they can give up points, sure. They can, you know, but if you're expecting them to win games when you only score 17 points, it doesn't matter who you have. Look at what the Browns got absolutely picked apart defensively in their playoff game against Houston. Myles Garrett had nothing over the past six games of the regular season and into the playoffs. You know, he can't be expected to do it either. You got to have an offense that's capable of putting up points. That, to me, is what the Steelers have got to spend most of this offseason trying to figure out. Who's going to be their quarterback? Who's going to be on their offensive line? Because they've got to improve that, and they've already made a move, which I thought was a little premature in terms of Mason Cole, only because they didn't have to do anything now, but they chose to do it now, which means you better come away with a center if it's not in the draft and free agency. So there's a lot going on there. 412-928-9370. Squeeze in one more before we go. We'll go up to top of the board there, Matty Harkins. That would be Harry in Westview. Hello, Harry. How are you?
Good morning, Pomp. Hey, the Pirates have like ADD or something. They pick these players that aren't even set for one position. They always want to move them around. And it's like a trend in the national, like baseball. Why don't they pick a player by position? Like, if you want a good first baseman or whatever, get a good first baseman like you do in football or whatever. But they pick like it seems like they pick the athletes all the time. You know what I mean? And they never work out.
Well, first of all,
like Cole Tucker. They wanted to move him around right away. He wasn't a position set.
I think that's more their inability to come up with someone who can play a regular position. Whenever they start platooning, it's an indication that you don't have a position, like you haven't been good enough to win a position outright. If you look at the Atlanta Braves, they send out the same people day after day after day after day after day. They're not interested in that. And I don't mind platooning once in a while, but if you do it on too many positions, you're going to end up with just a whole bunch of you know what. So
didn't the Pirates have the most lineups put out last year?
One of them, yes. One of them. And I think they're better off this year with regard to Cruz coming back. As you know, every day it should be Hayes, Cruz. Now, first base is Tellez probably, but you may get Connor Joy again. Platoon out in first base, platoon in right field, platoon in catcher. There's too many platoons. And in center field, you may have a platoon situation there too. So
yeah, that's not
you'd
good.
It's good for a little bit, not a lot. But I agree with you, Harry. Thanks for the call. Got to get to a break. We got Buzz. We have Greg, Chase, and John all coming up. We're on the air until 1 o'clock taking your phone calls on a potpourri of subject matter right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. The Penguins are practicing today after a day off yesterday. They got the Flyers tomorrow. The Flyers take on the Rangers today, and New York has been very hot. But Emil Bemström is skating on a third line with Lars Eller and Riley Smith today at the skate. We'll see what happens with him. Very unusual trade. And I really liked Alex Nylander. I don't know. He never really got a legitimate chance here, I thought at least. Anyway, 412-928-9370 is the number. We got line four. That would be Greg in Youngstown. Joins us right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Greg, how are you today?
Hey, what's Hayward's contract this year? How much?
I think it's $22 million.
Oh, Jesus. I mean,
They're going to restructure that. They're not going to go with that.
Well, I don't think he's going to like what the Steelers tell him. I really don't. We haven't won anything with this guy. We need bodies. We need a receiver. He's making way too much. And the Highsmith deal was a horrible deal, too. It really was.
No,
they
wasn't.
They paid him too much.
No, I mean, you're paying high-end guys on defense. Now, if you're saying they haven't spent enough on their offense, you would be correct. But with this cap going up, I think most of this draft and most of what they do in free agency will be offensive.
Yeah, they got to be careful how they sign some of these guys, though. I thought the Hayward move initially was bad because he was getting older, and now they're paying the price for this $22 million. And when they tell him to take a pay cut or they're going to divert
the money. It won't be a pay cut. All they're going to do is restructure it in the form of a signing bonus. He'll get everything that they want that he's owed.
Well, why do they worry what he thinks? Why do they care what this guy thinks?
Because he's still a very effective player when he's healthy.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He didn't play good. No, he's not.
He was injured.
He's 34 years old.
I understand, but they obligated this money to him. So he's going to get it one way or the other. If you're asking me, is he worth the $22 million right now for this year? The answer would be no, but they will figure out a way to do it. They certainly need more people there, Greg. They do. They don't have enough on their line.
They got to get a lot younger at defensive line.
They've tried.
A lot younger.
DeMarvin Leal has regressed. They expected him to go forward. And other guys they've brought over there have regressed. Now, you know, that's what you don't want with draft picks. You want them to progress, not regress, and many of them have regressed.
Yeah, I just think sometimes only guys that deserve that kind of money is like a Watt, a tackle, a cornerback, maybe a safety, or a quarterback. A defensive lineman, unless he's Bruce Smith, is not shouldn't get $20 million. No way.
All right. Anything else? I see you wanted to call about the Pirates. Is that
well, about the Pirates, too. I mean, They what were they at? $68 million, $70 million right now, and at their salary, I think they're around that borderline. Mm-hmm. Why don't they just spend like $30 more million and get two pitchers and be done with
it? They could, but they choose not to. It's just a choice. Thanks, Greg. I know. I hear what you're saying. It's the same thing. It's a choice. They choose not to do it, and they should do it. You got to supplement what you have too. And if you feel like, again, I can equate this a little bit to what the Steelers may be going through and maybe missed opportunities. To me, and I may be wrong, you know, what I say now may not be the case later, but it looks to me like the National League Central Division is not going to be very good. You have opportunities once in a while to cash in on other teams not having good seasons, and this could be one for the Pirates. I would hate to think that they would actually be in a position, but because they did not go out and spend a little bit more money in the offseason, that they're going to regret that. Just as I would make this observation that the Steelers, even though they still want to see what Kenny Pickett can produce as a number one 20th overall pick, you might be missing opportunities that otherwise will never be available to you, like this year. They have some free agents out there you may like or not like them, and I can make a case pro and con for all of them. Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, Sam Darnold, Ryan Tannehill, whatever the case. But there are trade opportunities because of how things have factored out with Chicago somehow emerging as the number one pick. Carolina had it. They traded to Chicago. Chicago, so they're going to get the first and the ninth pick. So there are opportunities there. You would hate to think that they had a chance to do something and chose not to because they wanted to wait to see about the development of Kenny Pickett. You can do both. But again, the Pirates are in that same boat. I look at this situation this year, and I think maybe they have enough talent on their roster if they just went out and add some big-time names to it and spend, you know, they could actually be in a position to make the playoffs. So those are situations that look like opportunistic right now, but it's up to them to do something about it. 412-928-9370. Buzz in Freeport is up next here on The Fan. Hello, Buzz. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Good. What's up?
Hey, just a couple things about the Steelers. First of all, what do you think about trading Watt? I mean, the Steelers are so far away from even being competitive towards a playoff, a Super Bowl. Why not trade them? Get what you can out of him. I mean, he's gonna probably bring maybe a number one, a number two, you know, draft choice. Get what you can out of him, and then, you know, start building your team. The other thing is Najee Harris. Don't sign him. I mean, he's going to be, what, I think $10 million for his fifth
year.
Yeah,
it's between 9 and 10, yeah, somewhere in that range.
I mean, you can get a player. Well, first of all, they have Warren. And not only that is they can get a big back in the draft. Draft a kid from Wisconsin or whatever in the fifth or sixth round that can run the ball hard. And, you know, running backs nowadays are a dime a dozen. I mean, they don't need to sign Najee. What do you think about that first of all, the Watt?
Well, first of all, Buzz, and thanks for the call. I got to run through this up against some breaks here. But if they did something like that, I could understand it. I would not do it. I still think he's a difference maker on that defense. He's the number one anchor of that defense. He is somebody who can still produce it at, I think, a pretty high level. So if I got an offer that absolutely floored me, would I look at it? Sure, I'd look at it. Would I do it? Depends on what that offer is. But I also think they have their own pieces in place here with draft picks. They have to hit on them, and they can make some moves in free agency that would help this offense immediately. I'd rather go with this defense and try to supplement the offense and see what the offense could do to make my job as a defense easier. And that's the one thing that has not happened in 3 years. So the offense has been the main culprit of all of this at 412-928-9370. Let's go to Chase and Butler before we take a break this hour. Hey, Chase, what's going on?
Hey, Bob, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to say that, you know, for Lent, I am giving up believing in the Pittsburgh Pirates. it seems like we have the same conversation every year.
Yeah, we do.
They need to make some splash moves. They need to go out and get Bellinger, go out and get Snell, and then, I mean, take a chance on I forget that other guy that had some trouble off the field, but we need to.
Are you talking about the pitcher from the Dodgers?
Yes.
Yeah. He wants to play for the veteran minimum. I see no problem. By the way, Ariza signed with the Chiefs yesterday or the day before. I would have done that if I were Pittsburgh. And he's been cleared of all these charges. He's a really good punter, and they need a punter.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's all I had to say. The Pirates just need to start spending, man. Like, unless we want to see the same result every single year and just try to make do with prospects and prospects and prospects, trading people at the trade deadline and just not making any measurable moves, then, I mean, it's just not going to work.
I got you, and I agree. And again, you may look back at this season and say they should have done that because the division was not very good. One more call, Matt, before we go to break, because I want to get John on. He's been waiting, and I don't like people waiting too long. I appreciate, John, your patience. And Cranberry, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call again. I haven't called in a while. I just wanted to shout out before I get to my point or my question. Want to shout out to the station, to Starkey, and to you for the send-off for Ron Cook that week that he left. That Monday show that you did with Starkey, for me, I'm a big sports fan. It was one of the best radio shows I've heard, all the guests you had on. It was a great send-off for Ron.
Well, he deserved it, and thanks for saying that. And I'm sure Joe did a whole bunch that whole week. He worked hard, and we tried to bring on people that I knew would have a lot to say about Ron. So I'm glad he got off to a nice send-off.
The thing that was amazing about Ron to me, really quickly, his knowledge of especially the WPIL basketball and football going back to the 60s and 70s, it was simply amazing to me the retention he had of the great names and teams. And the point was there are so many great athletes that came out of Western Pennsylvania that we don't really even heard about. So he amazed me on his knowledge of local high school sports. But speaking of basketball, Bob, I wanted to ask you about Pitt. It was a very, rough loss against Wake Forest. Do you think, big game tonight against Virginia Tech, do you think they have to win out to get into the tournament? And I wanted to get your thoughts on, because they're on the bubble, of what you thought about the Panthers' chances.
Yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate that. I don't think they have to win out, but I do think of all these games, at Clemson is going to be a big one for them. They've won on the road this year. They beat Virginia, ranked 21st. They ended a big, long win streak for them at home. They beat Duke. Now, they got blown out by Wake Forest, and again, that happens, especially a Wake Forest team that's very good at where they play. You got to win that game at Clemson. That doesn't mean you have to win all the rest of your games. You may lose one along the way, I get. But tonight is a must. They got to win this game at home. They have NC State. They have BC. They have teams they should be able to beat. But the one at Clemson next Tuesday is a big one. If they get that, it's a quad one. It counts more. It's better looking, and it's on the road as well. So, one loss. And make sure you beat Clemson is the way you got to go. We're up against the break. 412-928-9370 is the number. Once again, a thank you to number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Also, PNC Bank, make today the day. Shendorovich, and Fishman, you know them. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call right here on KDK Plus, as well as Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. If you're looking for a place also to hit some balls, go to the Turn Club in Cranberry. It's a tremendous facility. Great food. They got all the stuff, indoor simulators, whatever you need. It's a great place to head off. Again, the Turn Club in Cranberry.